Καλώς ορίσατε σε ένα ακόμα podcast.
Welcome to another Discover Crete podcast. Today we have with us a remarkable artist, a lyra player who's not afraid to blend tradition with a modern sound, creating something unique and exciting. Giannis Kapitanakis manages to bridge the past and the present through his music, adding new tones to the lyra and bringing a fresh breath to it. Welcome, Giannis.
Hello, Iulia. Glad to be here.
I'd like to start by asking you to tell us a few words about yourself and how your relationship with the lyra and music in general began.
My relationship with the lyra started at a young age, before I ever held a lyra in my hands. The real lyra, I mean, I grew up in Athens, first of all, with Cretan parents, and Crete was always in our home. So I was listening to Cretan music from a young age, and I had a thirst to learn the lyra. Of course, my parents didn't buy me a lyra. They didn't take me very seriously, and honestly, in their place, I wouldn't have either, because I was a bit of a troublemaker, and you know. Anyway, at some point, we had a melodica at home, and since I had a musical ear, I would play tunes on the melodica, but I played Cretan music on the melodica, and no matter how much I wanted to have a lyra, my parents didn't buy me one. So at some point, when I was about 12 years old, maybe 13, something like that, I went to the Cretan Association in our city, in Haydari, actually, and there was a teacher, Georgios Vagalakis, who drew the strings of the lyra for me and explained to me how the notes are placed on the lyra. So I would go home, and I had drawn a paper lyra, and I would play the tunes on the melodica, and then I'd take the paper and play on the lyra. So that's why I say I started before I ever held a lyra.
Incredible, you had a natural talent.
Yes, so I would sit there over the paper and imagine how it would be when I finally got a lyra. Then around the age of 15, I worked a bit, did some odd jobs. My parents added a bit of money, and I bought a lyra. And I started playing right away. I mean, I had studied before I even held the lyra in my hands.
So essentially you're self-taught?
Not exactly. I changed a few teachers. My first was Georgios Thagalakis from Anatoly in Eropetra. Then it was Zaharias Spiridakis, another teacher of mine. And in recent years, because let me tell you, I took a 7-year break. I didn't play the Cretan lyra. I played the Polytiki lyra. The lyra from Constantinople. This was back in the 90s when sounds like the canon, the oud, and the saz entered our lives. It was the 90s when they called it ethnic music, and sounds of the East also reached my ears. And they didn't leave me indifferent. On the contrary, I really wanted to explore that music, so I began studying it and even took lessons with Sokratis Sinopoulos on the Polytiki lyra. For 7 years I focused on that instrument, and since I also taught in music schools for some years, I found myself in drama, at the music school there, teaching the Polytiki lyra as well. And because we were so close to Constantinople, we'd travel there by car, meeting musical legends. In those pre-YouTube, pre-internet days, we only knew them from CDs and vinyl records. We met them in person, and I learned makams and Eastern music from them. And after those 7 years, I picked up the Cretan lyra again. Since you asked me whether I'm self-taught, I should also mention Paris Parasanakis. I took lessons with him too on the Cretan lyra. Because when I returned to the Cretan lyra, I had a different philosophy and a different style of playing, influenced by the Eastern technique of the Polytiki lyra, which resulted in a sound that was a bit different from the purely Cretan one.
So I understand that was also the period when you started playing without a bow. We've seen in your videos that you make sounds with your fingers, vocal sounds.
No, that came later. In the spring of 2013, I began doing those things.
How did that technique come about?
It was a phase in my life when I had two basic needs. One was the need for artistic expression, which no matter how much I tried within a group, within bands, you know, it's very difficult. And I admire bands that still manage to exist despite all the challenges. And the other need was financial, because at the same time I was raising three children. And I didn't want to do something else. But if today you believe you can start a band and make enough money for the band, for yourself, and for your kids, you're at least being naive.
So the difference in your playing.
No, let me finish this thought. So I thought of doing what I do, but on my own. I was thinking about what I could do solo. Because playing alone makes me flexible. I mean, I can travel flexibly, especially abroad. The trips I make abroad wouldn't be possible with a 5-member band. And at the festivals I've been to and played at abroad, and all the places I've traveled, I certainly couldn't have gone with a 5-member band. Because before developing this live looping technique, I had tried to form a band. I had started putting a band together. So I even made an album with that band, titled Behind the Mirror, which for me was an experiment, one I quickly realized was not what I wanted to do. So what I did alone helped me express myself artistically, up to a point. Because with live looping, just so people understand what it is, the technique, for those who don't know, involves a looper, a device where you record something and it repeats it. That repetition is the loop. So I start without anything pre-recorded. I record something on the looper, it repeats, and I build more layers on top of it.
While you're playing,
I change the sound of the lira with effects I have, pedals at my feet. And I change the lira's sound using overdrive, wah, delay, octaver. All of it happens live. That's how I started doing this alone, to see what I could do by myself. At that time, I would often go out and play on the streets of Athens. And I didn't want to just sit there with my lira playing only Cretan music. Not because I don't like it, I love it, I adore it, and I play Cretan music every day. I love Cretan music. But I wanted to show something else, because Cretan music in recent years has become hugely popular. I'd be on the street and people would say, play this one, play that one. Which isn't bad, but it wasn't what I wanted to do.
You wanted something different, something that would draw attention, more innovative, I'd say.
Yes. So I did that, and the tracks on my first little CD, titled Prayer of the Lira, are all pieces I composed while playing on the street.
Let me ask you, do you think the audience that loves Cretan music, not just Cretans but from all over Greece, have you seen that they are receptive to what you do, that they like it, accept it, admire it, or is there a more conservative approach where they want something specific?
Not everyone likes it. And it's not meant to please everyone. Some people like it very much. Some love it passionately and follow it. They follow me wherever I play. And some don't like it at all.
The truth is, even though I have no musical training, I really enjoyed hearing what you do. It moved me emotionally. And I wonder, when you're playing, do you have a specific feeling or image in mind that you want to convey, or is it simply something that comes from within?
Iulia, when I play, I don't think of anything. First of all, let me tell you, I've never decided to sit down and write a piece. While playing, it emerges. It comes to me. And I say it comes to me, because it truly comes from somewhere. Now where that is, I don't know. I can't tell you where the inspiration comes from, because I might be in. I mean, pieces have come to me in quiet, idyllic places, and others right in the center of Athens, in the city's noise.
So anything can be an inspiration for a creation.
Yes. For me, I don't know where inspiration comes from.
Let me ask you something now about musical influences, apart from Cretan music. Is there another genre you enjoy listening to? Something different?
I enjoy listening to all kinds of music. In every genre I find something I like. I've been like that since I was young, meaning I listen to everything.
That's exactly the answer I expected. to be honest.
So since then, the music I create is exactly that. From the moment I first heard the sounds of my rattle in the cradle until now. Everything I've liked, everything that has stayed with me and moved me, somehow finds its way into my music.
I'd also like to ask, have you ever taken a traditional piece from a fellow musician and reworked it with your own technique?
Yes, a traditional piece, though not from a colleague, just a traditional piece.
And make it a little different. Right. And earlier you mentioned traveling abroad, that playing solo has given you flexibility. I'd like you to tell me what it's like to perform for a foreign audience. Do you play for Cretans?
No, I don't play for Cretans. I actually avoid it, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I usually go to Germany, and this coming April, I'll be traveling to Germany again. Since 2015, I've been going at least once or twice a year. Cretans living abroad, and quite understandably, want to hear what they miss. In Crete, when I play, because Crete is a living musical organism, and because there are so many great musicians and virtuosos across the island, especially in summer, within a 50 kilometers radius, you can find festivals and weddings happening every single day. And because that exists in Crete, that's exactly why Cretans have embraced what I do, because they don't miss it. Even the diehard fans of Cretan music come to my shows and say, "Bravo, my friend." But if that same person lived in Germany and hadn't heard it in a long time, and then someone came with a lira to present something alternative, something they didn't know.
Yes, it might jar with them because it's not what they expect.
Exactly. They might think, I came to hear the lira I know, and instead I'm hearing psychedelics. So, since those kinds of misunderstandings have happened, I avoid it. I'd happily play Cretan music in Germany for Cretans. But given what I just told you, my audience is foreigners, mostly Germans. Or when I play in the Netherlands, the Dutch, in Austria, Austrians.
And how do they respond to your music?
What can I say? I've been deeply moved by the acceptance. We really connect.
Has anyone ever said something you remember, an unforgettable moment?
Nothing comes to mind right now, but what someone says isn't as important as what I feel at that moment. Because I might be playing alone, but I don't feel alone. I feel like we're all creating it together at that moment. And since there have been moving moments, like when you see someone crying, touched by what they hear, there's no need for them to say anything.
It's the feeling shared by everyone present in that moment.
Exactly. And what I do is also improvisational. You'll never hear the same thing twice in a live show. There might be a bass, something I call a piece. But because I play alone and don't have others to interact with, I end up interacting with myself and with the audience.
I understand exactly what you mean.
So I might start a piece, but along the way I change it depending on the people there and what's happening in that moment. If it's a party, if people want to dance, or if they're gathered around sitting on cushions, listening to music in a more contemplative mood, it depends on the crowd where I'm playing. I might be outdoors or in a hotel. I adapt my music depending on the setting. I don't have something fixed and say, now I'll play this. I have a framework, but it changes depending on the audience. So what I do is very improvisational.
I understand. That's the essence.
A piece might last 5 or 7 minutes, or the same piece might go on for 20 minutes.
Yes, I think that's the essence of music in general, understanding who surrounds you, what the audience wants, and communicating that.
That's exactly what happens. That's what happens with the people I play for. My antennas are up, picking up all the energy, all that's happening around me. And I turn it into music and give it back. That's what I do.
Giannis, I'd like to thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you as well.
I think we've learned a lot.
Take care. I'll be glad to meet again in person.
Of course. All the best.
Same here. Goodbye.